Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert.
Hello and welcome to Sunday Morning Coming Down. I still sound a little bad, I guess, but a lot better than last week. Boy, do I have a story for you. I had the little C, which is for COVID. It's a global pandemic. I know that I had it because I took a test and it told me that I had it. All very unlikely activities from your favorite podcast host. So let's wind it back, okay? First, I'd like to start by wishing all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. My mom, Gino, good German woman, she taught me that when you're sick, it's not a celebration. You go away. Like a wounded animal, you go to the woods, which is basically what I did this week. So I guess I'm connected to my mother on Mother's Day because I had the little C. It's a pandemic, not a mandemic. My mother-in-law, Terry, hope looking forward to a good year in Starbucks before we eventually snake our way onto White Bear Lake. We need some quality Starbucks time. Happy Mother's Day to you and to my wife, who's not my mother, but she is the mother of our children, the IST. If you're a mom and you work at a flower shop, Mother's Day is, I've been telling people it's the Super Bowl for IST, for florists. That's probably not true because most people have positive memories of the Super Bowl and going to parties and eating White Castle Crave cases. I think it's Vietnam for florists, I guess. You work, she went to work yesterday at 8:30 in the morning and got home at like 8 on her feet the whole time. She was out of the house by 8 something this morning on Mother's Day. I am recording late. I had the little C. Give me a break. I got to get my energy back up. I got to do a good podcast for you guys today. I'm going to, by the way. But also, anybody that's food insecure, anybody that's struggling to put food on the table, is hungry, I would encourage you to go to room 137 in the Wichita Falls Quality Inn. I'm pretty sure my Chipotle is still in the fridge, the mini fridge. I don't know how long it can last and still be safe, but that's right on the main level. Turn left by the crushed crunch berries in the carpet. Take a left. Go past the broken vending machine. And there's a handicap room that you won't be able to open the door to unless you get the guy from the front desk to come. In that mini fridge is a leftover Chipotle bowl, half of one. So I'm doing my part for people out there in need. So let's talk about the little C. You should probably spell karma with a C because this is a glimpse of my conversation at the airport. Moments before testing positive for corona. So I don't wear the mask on the plane because I've told you I don't understand why people are still wearing masks. To me, it's like if you get the handicap pass for, you got an ankle injury, you got the handicap sticker for 3 months, but then you're still using it 6 months later. Now, ironically, coincidentally, maybe, my mother kind of told me, it's everybody's personal decision. Just, you never know what they have going on. You don't know what their health issues might be. Like, she didn't say this, but she's sort of saying, why does that bother you? And it probably bothers me for a bunch of reasons that are bad about myself. So I won't unpack those because that wouldn't be much fun. But I did say literally to my cameraman as we're walking through the Minneapolis airport, I said, I'm not an in-your-face guy generally, but if I had a t-shirt that said masks are over, with like big type masks are over, I would wear it when I flew on the airplane, just because I kind of want people to know that. No, and at this time, fully just flaming COVID, by the way, while I'm having this conversation. Multiple planes on the way home. Sorry, everyone all over the country that now has COVID. I'm responsible for a spike. Like, I did a Rob Gronkowski spike of COVID all by myself, with help from the Quality Inn. I see a friend at the airport, military guy, and I say to him, why aren't you wearing your mask? Because now, this is what COVID's done to me. I now joke about why aren't you wearing your mask. I am truly a 75-year-old angry guy, I guess. This is something I think is concerning for young people. So I'll try to fight against this. But yeah, I did. I'm not going to lie. I said to him, why aren't you wearing your mask, you know, as a joke, while I have COVID, probably giving him COVID. He probably has COVID now. I wonder if he listens. And he says, he said, why would I be wearing a mask? I said, you know, to stay safe. And he had this great line. This was a great line before I found out I had COVID. But he says, I've been safe for 2 years, man. I'm ready to take some chances. And he walked down to, you know, the E-gates. So I feel horrible last weekend, but I assume it's just because I woke up early for those flights, plus the Quality Inn. But I do feel bad enough that the wife says you should get a test before you come home. You should probably get a test because it's Mother's Day weekend at the flower shop. You know, this is an important time of year. And I think this is compliments to COVID. I think I felt bad enough that I was curious about getting a test. I think I had a morbid curiosity, like, I wonder if this is it. This is the thing they've been talking about. It's like Top Gun when Charlie says, so you're the one. You're the one. I needed to know. And by the way, anyone in hockey culture knows the first rule of COVID is don't test, don't tell. Under no circumstances. Don't test, don't tell. There I am. I'm at Walgreens. And getting a COVID test is a little bit like buying condoms when you're 15. I never did buy condoms. I might have actually bought condoms and like used them myself or something to see what it was like. But I never like had the privilege of buying condoms as a teenager. That would have been cool. But so you're in there and you don't know where the COVID test is and you don't really want to interact with anybody. And I was trying to like think about how I could play it off. If I was like, hey, do you know where the COVID tests are? And they like immediately, like an airbag falls from the ceiling. They put it on the child next to them and then they put their own on. No, actually, I think you put your own on and then you put the one on the kid. And I was going to be like, you know, my daughter's going on a bachelorette party. You know, it's the right thing to do. Get tested. Everyone get tested before you show up. But I think they know. They know it's for you. And got the test. When I've done this once previously, the line, it's sort of a vague thing. You can't tell what's going on. There's some doubt. When I took it this time, you know, it's kind of a complicated deal. You open this little book, put 5 drops in, Q-tip your nose, stick the Q-tip in the back and flip it over, and it activates the lines. The second I flipped the thing over, the line was like, it was like I had carved my name into a picnic bench. You know, JK loves SK. I mean, it was just on. I had full COVID. I was a 5-star general of COVID. So here's the problem when you test, okay? You are now radioactive, okay? So my home turns into the end of the movie E.T., where I might as well have had plastic wrap. Wife sets up a TV tray at the bottom of the stairs. It's still there because that's how we live our lives. It's still at the bottom. And she would, whenever she would bring down food, she would set it there. And I would come out of the basement around the corner, grab it, go back to the basement. Then I got to tell people, right? I got to tell the hockey team I was with. I got to tell the cameraman. I can't go to the Wild games, a client. I am radioactive. I am sitting in the basement. So, yeah, but as far as the review of COVID, if I were on, like, Yelp, comes on strong, feels like a cold. But if a cold jumped on your back like Todd Bertuzzi, and sneezing and sore throat and coughing and headache, you just kind of feel like you got your ass kicked. You know what actually you feel like? Here would be the real review. Getting COVID feels like you woke up at 3 in the morning to catch a flight with a connection. And you went to Wichita Falls and you stayed for 2 evenings at the Quality Inn in Wichita Falls. You missed meals. You only ate food you could get at a hockey arena. You did not work out. You maybe had a Powerade and lots of enough crunch berries to have the roof of your mouth sore. That's what having COVID feels like. And turns out I did have COVID. Something that doesn't have COVID, Jay Hilburn, COVID-free. I don't believe it passes on surfaces. So even if you had a nice outfit and you left it for someone, I don't think it would transport it. I got it. Now I'm out of the basement. I got to up my game. I do need to buy some more Hilburn stuff. I got to get out there. I got to reconnect with stylist Andy and find out what's going to be the season look. We had our first nice days of the spring, which I'll get into in a minute. And I want to know, what should I be bringing around? What are the colors? Last year we did a little bit of olive. We got into the English tan. We obviously had the third piece in the fall. I'm going to ask her. I want to know what the thing is this summer as we get into that life, as we get those sunglasses upside down on the brim of your cap. I don't even like to wear sunglasses, but I like to have sunglasses on my hat, like Coach Taylor. So get yourself some Jay Hilburn. I know we have a lot of what I would call warm leads from the Brendan Bonin event. People buying clothes for their kids, for themselves. I know we had some customers added. Thank you, listeners, that have done that. But let's get in there. Let's elevate. We're better than the Gap. Let the compliments begin. Jay Hilburn. I did the thing, you read about this stuff online. So when you, I don't know if you're supposed to start from the day you first have symptoms, or there's a lot of reference to something called day zero, which I only am familiar with for week zero in college football. It's sort of the week when 5 games happen, not a full slate. But I definitely took myself out of rotation. So any of the haters, the people that think I'm a Unabomber. I definitely sat on the sidelines. I didn't go to the hockey games. I spent time in the basement. I didn't go to the office. I took myself out of rotation. Now, at this point, I had definitely infected 14,000 people. But at that point, it was enough. It was enough. I took my good German mother's advice, and I licked my wounds in the basement. So I'm going to do it. This is something that I feel strongly about. So I went to a party yesterday, a derby party, one of the best parties ever. These guys just do it up. You know about this party, the Pyro King, Dice Clay. They get the projector. They got the big poster of all the silks. They got the mint juleps. They got maple syrup. They buy a box of actual programs from Churchill Downs. You can bet on races all day. You get these wooden nickels every race, $5 a race, $10 for the Derby. And you get a number and you go. Everyone kind of migrates in to watch the race, back outside in the sun the rest of the time, cigars, the whole deal. Okay, so it was great. But observation, just generally. So there is small talk and then there's big talk. Okay, small talk looks like this. Okay, if I was small talking with myself, and I hadn't seen me in a while, here's what's on my bullet list. where's Stace right away? Because she's not there. She's then I do the whole Super Bowl florist thing, right? Canned remarks. Then I think it goes to the house. What's going on with the house? Because they know we're building a house. They also know our house is getting torn down. Maybe there's some schadenfreude. Is that what you call it? Maybe in a way they like to hear about the fact that, you know, we got a bit of a shit show going on. Then it goes to the son. No. The daughter. How's the daughter? How's the son? I think they literally, if you're a true small talker, I think you go in chronological order based on age, just to be fair. You know, it's like keeping track of the Christmas gifts. And then you go, what else do you do? Like, what's new with you? And then they would also hit the job because they know I'm doing something different. So what's going on with the job? Okay. So that's the decision tree. That's the scripted first 15 plays of the small talk Thursday night game. Okay. Now I don't want to do that anymore ever. Like for the rest of my life, I don't want to do that. It's just, there's nothing there. It's so tedious. But then every once in a while, you run into a beauty. This person is incapable of small talk. And I don't say this to critique small talk, which I do hate. I'm saying there's a whole nother sport out there. There's apples and there's oranges, okay? So I always knew this guy was funny. So keep in mind, I've just had a conversation like I've described to you, the bullet list, the outline. And now let's just drop into the conversation I'm having with this gentleman. These are some of the phrases. Now, we're at a derby party, so, you know, we've concluded, the two of us, that the size of a horse's penis is like a pork loin. It's big. Right? Now, we've come up with this because it starts with, have you ever been to the derby, right? Better question, by the way. That's a better question than, how's your job, just generally. And not a real hard one. You're at a derby party. Yes, told him the story. Went to some distilleries, went to these horse farms where you see where the horses have sex. So I'm offering that up, the stud horse. They're in these big padded rooms, and they wear pads on their legs. So I'm already giving him some sort of, I'm off the reservation already myself with the content. But now we both know that we're not small talkers, we're big talkers. Or side talkers, or something different. So this thing goes even further. Wow, you know. So if a horse penis is the size of a pork loin, do female horses have clitorises? And if they do, they must be big. They must be like a, you know, it's a 100-gram bar or something, right? And then I think at one point, do the horses? Is it pleasurable when they're put out for stud? So, I mean, we're searching on my phone, horse clitoris. Not a huge idea, not great if I had a corporate job, but I work for myself. Don't push the back button on my Safari. But yeah, so like that was just so fun. Like, I didn't know where we were going next. Like, once we had the pork loin comparison. So, like, let's not be small talkers. And there's nothing wrong with small talk. That's what most people do, and it's sort of polite and perfect. But man, shout out to Odd Todd. He's got a brother, and the way you remember the difference, this is what someone told me when I first met him, is that you just got to remember Odd Todd. That's how you remember. And I just laughed the whole day. I just could have listened to him all day. I don't know where it's going to go. I mean, he is, and he just showed me, like, there's no, life's too short for small talk, okay? So that's your message on that one. What else do I got? Hold on. This was a revelation for me. I was doing this upstairs, downstairs, little C thing, and came up, got my food, put it on a paper plate, went downstairs, come up later. The wife is having the same meal, but she's not using paper plates. And I said, well, hey, what's going on? Why are how long have you been doing this? Were you, because we do paper plates a decent amount. She goes, oh, I hate paper plates. I would never eat on a paper plate. So for like years now, she's been putting my food on a paper plate. Maybe I scurry away to a different part of the home to eat it. And then she's eating on a nice plate with real utensils. I mean, I'm probably drinking champagne. Maybe the queen is there. So that's weird. I'm getting the paper plate, and the wife is using regular. I've been threatened to lose laundry duties again. So I would say every 10 months, my wife buys a $100 black dress from somewhere. And apparently this dress or skirt or shirt cannot be dried. So two things. I know she's a regular listener, so Stace, never throw that item down the laundry chute. There's no reason to. If you don't want it washed in the normal way, don't throw it down the laundry chute. And also, maybe don't buy those items because, like, let's be honest, eventually it's getting dried, right? It is. I don't know what to tell you. Bennett just got home. We got all of his laundry down there. It's chaos. I'm just doing the best to keep up. So she's talking about taking it back. I don't keep it tidy enough down there. I also don't think you can really shrink stuff that much. I think it's probably fine. It's just leverage, I think. But I think just kangaroo court, if you don't want it dry, don't throw it down. I know not a lot of houses have the laundry chute, but we do. So I don't know. I don't know where the blame lies on that one. This week, the weather got nice, and Friday, late afternoon, played golf with a buddy and my son. Oh my God, did we need this. We needed it. Minnesota went from like, it's a nice day in the spring to like, I need this. I need it. Like the amount of sunburned arms and people just so sunburned and so happy. Because we needed it. It has sucked for like a month. So being out on the golf course, I never looked at my phone. I usually try to look every six holes. If there was a, you know, a water hazard close enough, I might have just thrown it in there like a Corona commercial. I was so happy to be out there. I can't even tell you how happy I was. It was awesome. I absolutely loved it. I did have the universe kind of talking to me a couple times this week, I think. So this feeling in the golf cart was like, if I just didn't have a phone, everything would be better. Because in some ways that phone is represents money and job and work and things you need to do and stress, right? But for some reason, when you don't have it, it seems to go away. Like just the simple, and I can visualize this for you, like the that little compartment in the golf cart, just setting your phone in there face down underneath the, you know, the paper boat that the hot dog came in. I mean, that's it, man. Just get rid of it. Push the phone away is a huge thing. So the fact that felt so good, that kind of untetheredness. And then I listened to a podcast I really like, Garage Logic, and they had, I think, one of the best episodes they've ever had in history. They had this couple on, and older couple, 70s, I think, and about 10 years ago, the husband said to the wife, I don't want to keep living my life the same way, where we just keep doing the same thing, talking to the same people. And he said something like, I want to travel the world. And so she went into the spreadsheet. She took that to heart. And she said, well, we can do it. We just have to sell everything we own. No big deal. Everything. The house, the cars, the boats, you know. So they've done this for 10 years. They sold everything. They have international insurance. They travel around. They go places for like long periods of time. So they would go to like, you know, South Africa for 2 months, or, you know, London for 6 weeks. And they planned out their first 2 years. They've been doing it for about 10. And it was just awesome. All they have is three suitcases. So there's a craving in all of us, you know, this minimalist thing. But I think that the part that was most interesting to me, there were two parts. There was a warning and there was a positive. The warning was at some point the hosts of the podcast were like, what do your kids think of this? You know, you used to watch the grandkids. She used to do daycare for the grandkids. And she said they don't really like it. Okay, so that's not great. So that's, I can imagine them somehow, they pass away someday and no one's at the funeral. It's just all the pictures of themselves in all these countries. It can get a little selfish, I think. But on the bright side, they asked them, how do you communicate in all these places? And the woman said, the first thing we do is learn the word thank you in the language that we're in. Which I just thought was so interesting. Thank you, right? So I would learn maybe please or bathroom or bar, probably bar, cantina, el baño. But the thank you. So man, that tells you something, doesn't it? That the first word they're learning is thank you. That's deep stuff. I don't even know how to unpack that, but I love it. So yeah, wanderlust was kind of a word that came up when I was listening to that pod. They were, and I think I have some wanderlust. I don't know what it is. I think I want to see new things and meet new people, and I want to have big talk, you know, and go out there, you know, and try some stuff. It's funny. I think. I believe that the Pyro King and his wife are maybe going to do an RV for 6 weeks. They mentioned this in passing at the party yesterday, like one of their kids is maybe in a different state and they're going to park the camper for 6 weeks down in Arizona. Like that's the kind of stuff, man. I think that's it. That's something. What's that feel like? Who do we know in Arizona now? Who do we send postcards to? Do we got people? Do we have a favorite margarita spot? Do we have a favorite golf course? Do we know the guy at the record shop? I don't know. I think it's interesting. I got to try some stuff. Wanderlust, big talk. The also went over to the new neighborhood where we're going to be living in. It's called Cottage Park. And they did their annual, biannual, you know, put the docks in. This, if you live on a lake, this is a deal, right? Everybody knows this. Bunch of dudes and waiters. Depending on what lake you're on, either coffee or beer. Apparently, I'm moving on to a lake where it's coffee. I brought some. I brought the coffee and the bagels, trying to get Rookie of the Year, get in with the community. But what an awesome thing, you know, when everything's so divided and politics and everything else. This annual rite of passage, this biannual, I guess, this people coming together to put docks in. You know, there's land people, there's water people, guys with wrenches. There's always one guy that's the mastermind. We have a guy named Bob the Builder. It's awesome, you know, catching up and kids are running around, dogs are running around. That is America. That's what America was when we built it, for sure. And the fact that that still happens gives me some real hope. Like, that's just great. Like, nobody's getting paid. They're all working together. They're all different types of people. One goal. They let somebody run the show because someone has to, and it all kind of works. Super cool. I'm excited to be a part of a lake community. We'll still be kind of in the second row. We'll have lake access, but, you know, I've gone and helped out at some of these things, but I've never really felt like I was a part of it, so it was really, really pretty cool. One thing I didn't do when I was over there is get hurt, arrested, or fired, which is a super big bonus because that would have been a bummer, especially in front of your new neighbors. If I did, though, if I was sitting on the curb, sucking on a penny, you know, putting my stuff in a box, I know I'm calling Wachtler Law, WACHTLER Law.com. He's been in it for 25 years. He's fiercely independent, afraid of no one. So if you are in a pickle, consider reaching out to Wachtler Law, wachtlerlaw.com. You know, a couple thoughts. You know, the Wild, man, it's been great, this hockey thing. They're going to play this afternoon. If we can win this afternoon, man, our body language you know, Minnesota's going to turn into Winnesota real quick here if the Twins are doing what they're doing, get the Wild over the hump. You know, we lost that first game badly, and the goalie was interviewed, and he was really serious. He took the blame, and he just said this line. I can't get it out of my head. He says, "Come," he's French-Canadian, "come back tomorrow with us. Come back with a smile tomorrow. We'll come, you know, we learn from today and come back with a smile tomorrow." Wow, what a line. What a line about life. Come back with a smile tomorrow. That is like learning thank you first. So the flower, beautiful thing. Day after the run of the roses. COVID. That's not as funny anymore. I think we should live our lives. Let's find big talk. Let's find new adventures, new places. Travel's probably a pretty big piece of this in some way, but maybe a different type of travel. I don't think it's a weekend. I think what wanderlust means is it's like going somewhere for 4 weeks. Even just posting up in a Marriott vacation club for 4 weeks in some weird part of Florida. Like, yeah, I think we got to start doing that. The older we get, the more we need to do stuff like that. I'm going to finish with a drinking story because I drink a little bit. I've been good, though. I think I've changed some of that. Although I was watching Harry Styles videos on after game three Friday night. Yeah, I was into the Harry Styles a little bit. And it wasn't just music videos. I was watching the Jimmy Fallon, Kendall Jenner, once the Styles is on, we watched Watermelon Sugar. I talked about how I love that it says dedicated to touching. Like, I don't need to say that. Anyone who's been around me has heard me say that 95 times. I probably don't need to say that. But at that point, I'm just playing a character. You know, I'm on The Simpsons as John King, and I'm just doing what John King does on The Simpsons. So, Willie Anderson, I should golf with Willie, actually. That would be good. If you want to golf, let me know. It's that time of year, man, thinking about your house, thinking about flood insurance. I just saw something on TV that people, what did they not have? There was some weird loophole where, I don't know, some horror story about insurance. I probably don't have that either, but Willie would have recommended it for me for sure because he explains it like a children's book. He insures you like it's his own family. And he believes, as a rule, stupidity is covered, which is good. That's why we tuck him in towards the end of this podcast. That's probably why he's on this podcast to begin with. So if you want to save some money, if you want to have somebody answer their phone, Will Anderson Insurance. So drinking story, sort of. So hockey superstitions, okay? I can't go to the Wild game. I got the little C. So my son's home from college, which is pretty exciting when your kids come home when they're older. It's like you just got a roommate. It's like suddenly I'm living in Uptown. I have a roommate. And my roommate knows, like, good music, and he can go to the liquor store and buy us beer and seltzer. So it's pretty great to have a little buddy show up in the basement, especially when you've been quarantining. But we're pretty superstitious, right? So, like, we think that our actions have an impact on the Wild's success or failure. Now, we know they don't, but we believe that they do. So, oh, man, so I wanted to have a chew, but all my chew was dried out. I asked the guys what to do about it. They tell me if you put a little whiskey in a plastic bag and put a couple of the pouches in there, they'll moisten up. So I do that with some Lucky Guys whiskey. So I'm doing that, thinking that's helping. Then I'm thinking, okay, one of these a period, one chew a period, maybe one White Claw a period. Son tells me there's a new flavor of White Claw called passion fruit. So now I'm thinking, man, ever since we knew about passion fruit, the Wild, they keep winning. Maybe we always have to get passion fruit. So it gets a little weird. It can get extravagant, all of the different setups. But the reality was, this is Friday night. We've been on the golf course, and we decided to go to Wiper Bar, and there was an incident, not a mishap, but an incident. We're all going in on pull tabs, you know, $20 each. The son's playing, my buddy's playing, and we're really losing. It is not going well. Playbacks at best. So if we're putting 60 in, you know, it's $8 going back. We keep going. Now we got to pay the tab because we're the parents here, and so we basically were out of cash, and this is a cash only establishment, the high end wiper bar. So we're out of money. The son, he takes one more bite from the nectar on his own. I don't know how much he played. I don't know if he rolls over there with 80. And he wins a 200. And we're kind of like, hey, you know, we're all in, right? Nah, not so much. That just goes right into his wallet. So I don't know. I really felt like as a parent, I must have done something wrong because he went rogue. He went rogue on the cardboard cocaine. He broke away. Once we were weak, once it was like if we were in the military and we were like, go on without us. And instead of picking us up and saying, the hell I will, you know, no child left behind. He's like, okay. And then he won. And so he probably still has $200 in his wallet. We're empty. We paid the tab. The only thing that good that happened, karma with a little C, is when he tried to cash his ticket, he's about 2 days from his 21st birthday. Oops, you're in a bar. Yep, so bartender, no love lost there. Friendly reminder not to come back to the White Bear Bar till May 19th. As we walk out with our tail between our legs. It looked like a tail, but actually I think it was just his giant wallet with $200 in it. So he went rogue, dirty. Where did I lose him as a parent? What happened? So my buddy and I have decided we're just, whenever we like text him from now on, we're just going to add a little like, so we're all in together, right? It's a team thing, right? Right, Bennett? So yeah, that was a little bit of a bummer. Lost him there. Lot of superstition flying around. Don't know how to react really with the Wild winning. Like you know how they always say, act like you've been there before? Yeah, haven't been there before. So don't know what to do. So getting a little bit overexcited, probably running my lip at St. Louis fans a little bit too much, but bear with us. We haven't been there before. I'm going to finish with the Willie Nelson song. My daughter texted me. It's pretty cool. I think Willie's got a record about aging, it sounds like. He's Willie Nelson. That's all you need to say. So get it.
Drinking black coffee in a little motel lobby, waiting on the band to come down. I've been traveling across Texas in an old station wagon, dragging a trailer around. I do the driving, they do the drinking. That's how I keep us alive. We played a good show last night in Waco. We still got an 8-hour drive. If I ever get old, I'll still love the road. Still love the way that it winds. And when the last song's been played, I'll look back and say, I sure had a beautiful